Imagine if a flower could support your emotional well-being, reduce your stress, or even spark creativity. It sounds like magic, right? Well, it's science, and today we are uncovering the incredible world of flowers and flower essences. If you have ever wondered how flowers can do more for you than just brighten up your room, stay tuned, plant friends. This episode will truly transform the way that you see the natural world and flowers. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. If you're new here, my name's Maria. I am here to help you care for plants and grow joy. And boy, oh boy, did this interview and this topic grow so much joy for me. I have to say, after doing 270 plus interviews for this podcast, I have never gotten off an interview so fast and immediately ordered a guest product so quickly. If you stay tuned till the end of the episode, you'll hear about a personal spiritual growth moment that I'm having and how I was so inspired by our conversation. I literally overnighted a specific flower essence that me and Katie talked about today to this retreat that I was going to. And you'll hear about it at the end of the episode. But I truly left this episode so inspired and so curious after having already kind of had some proof for myself. So I'm excited to introduce you to our guest. Her name's Katie. She's the founder of Lotus Way, which is a company that's dedicated to harnessing the power of flowers to help us live more vibrant lives. And I first learned about flower essences in Lotus Way because I was actually gifted one of her Aura sprays in an influencer kit for my friend's book launch. And I was so curious. I was a little skeptical. I was like, what is this? What makes it different than, you know, just a normal essential oil? And you'll hear more in the interview, but I was really shocked at the impact that this one bottle had on me because I ended up keeping it around my work and I used it throughout my workday. And I liked it so much, it encouraged me to get a couple of other flower essences that I've been using throughout my workday, one to kind of focus and then one to decompress at the end of the workday. And then lo and behold, at the end of this episode, I ordered another one. So like, I'm totally on the flower essence bandwagon. And I can't believe the beautiful impact that these flower essences have in my life. And I'm so excited to like really break down kind of the science and the like real why of what the heck these things are, and why they make us feel so good. So Katie's amazing. She's an amazing educator. I can't wait to get to this conversation. So let's dive right in. Katie, welcome to Growing Joy. So excited to have you.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
I'm like a little Lotus Way pack rat. I have a whole Lotus Way section on my desk. I learned about you from one product, which I actually think I've already run out of, but I'm dear friends with Jessica Zweig. And in her book launch, you included a Lotus Way Aura Mist, which I kept at my desk and I used it. And when I first saw the word Aura Mist and when I first kind of got the product, I was like, this is interesting. Okay. And I tried it a couple of times and I was shocked at the impact that this little spray had on my day and its ability to lift my spirits. And obviously it's flower essences. Growing Joy is all about caring for plants. And there's probably a lot of synergy here. So I'm so excited to pick your brain. I know that we're going to have some skeptics in the audience. I'm excited to ask questions for them. I'm excited to ask questions for me, who is drinking the Kool-Aid already, as now I have multiple of your Aura Mists and elixirs. And I figured I'd take some. So I've been experimenting with using your fierce compassion for my workday and then unwinding with your quiet mind at the end of the workday. So I've been trying to use them to kind of navigate my different energies. So cheers. I'm going to take some flower elixir, which it's very tasty. And I've been chugging it for the last couple of weeks. So I guess to start, how did you get into this whole business of the energetics of flowers?
So I had just graduated college. I was living in Mexico. I was doing some volunteer work and I was really like on the search for what could I do with the rest of my life that I could like liberate people's potential. Because I saw people around me, you know, getting into mortgages and all kinds of different loans and bills. And I thought, gosh, I don't even know what I, you know, what I want to do. And I watched people kind of like get stuck in jobs that they didn't like. And I saw their potential kind of shrink, you know, because you're in school, you're in your early 20s, and you think like, oh my God, so much is possible. And I just saw people get small. And I thought, oh God, how can I help with that? I also had some health challenges too that I wanted to look for natural medicines for. And I thought, I was convinced that I could probably heal myself. And so it just led me on this journey of seeking out all different kinds of alternative medicine. And I ended up running into an expert in flower essences who was from Spain. And I actually met him in Mexico. And he said two things that really lit me on fire. One was, every flower on the planet has a really specific function for what it does for us emotionally and mentally. And I thought, that's so cool, right? Like, you know, you always hear about herbs can make you sleepy or herbs can heal your digestion, but you don't necessarily hear about like a flower can heal your abandonment wounds, you know? Mm. I just thought like, that's really interesting. And then also he said that because of the potential and the power of the ripple effect, if 3% of the world's population were actively working with these remedies, it would have enough power to change the future of the planet. And I had no idea what he was talking about or what he meant. And I don't think I even actually really understood, like on a tangible level, the gravity of what he said until probably the last few years. Like this was in the late 1990s that I met him. And, you know, the first 10 years of my career, I saw people one-on-one doing consultations. And that's all. I never thought I would have a product, a business. I didn't imagine I would be where I'm at. But I saw crazy transformations, you know, with people coming into my office, telling me what's happening in their life, what's working, what's not working. I'd make a bottle of flower essences and they'd come back in 3 weeks. And it was just phenomenal what I would see. Like their body language different, their face different, their expressions, their stories, everything would shift so quickly. And I thought, how do I reach more people? And then that started the whole next 10 years, which was like figuring out how to be an entrepreneur and scale and reach more people. And I think it wasn't until like 2020, 2021, when kind of everything flipped upside down, that I really, really deeply understood what my teacher was meaning by that 3%. You know, when you see like waves of contagion move through, it can either be contagious fear or it can be contagious joy or expansion. And so right now we're really looking at what does it look like to create a movement of contagious joy or contagious empowerment or contagious fearlessness and courage.
I love that. I use it throughout my workday, and usually I use the RMS before I go on to a meeting. And it is interesting because I'm always using it before I interact with people, but it really does change my energy and lifts my mood so that I can show up better for these meetings, which then impacts the people that I'm with, even if they're not even in the room with the mist or with the flower essence. So that's so interesting. Now, for everybody who might be like scratching their head, being like, what the heck are these two girls talking about? What is a flower essence?
So, you know from spending time around your plants that they make you feel better. We know when we go out into the forest or we go into the ocean or we're in the wild place, we feel better. It has so much more to do with energy than oxygen. Like the plants are literally not just cleaning the air, but they're also cleaning our auras. They're cleaning our energy. They're taking away stress from us. That might sound crazy to some people, but they've done studies in Tokyo in the medical schools showing that if you, well, they can show it on a biochemical level. So for example, if you spend one day in the wild, your cortisol drops. Like cortisol is a like, you know, crazy hormone that gives us belly fat and makes us tired, right? So your cortisol drops, your stress drops, your white blood cell count goes up. So your immune system isn't boosted. But the crazy thing about Mother Nature is there's this wild exponential benefit to it too. If you spend one day in the wild, forest bathing, so to speak, right? Just taking the energies of the nature into your field. Those health benefits will last for a week. And if you spend 2 days in the wild, those health benefits will last for an entire month. And what's even more interesting is that beyond these kind of biochemical, physical phenomenon, they've done studies showing that flowers emit, it's like transmissions of light or frequency, if you want to call it, or vibration, and that bees are not drawn to flowers based on color or scent, like we always thought. They're based on these particular vibrations that they're sensing in the little hairs on their legs. There's this dynamic communication occurring electrically, like on a very subtle level between the bees and the flowers. So what we're talking about here with flower remedies is capturing this very subtle electrical current that's being emitted from plants and flowers. We can't see it. Now, we know if that sounds crazy, right? I call it like botanical Wi-Fi or flower Wi-Fi. We know that our cell phones work, and we know that all the most important pieces of our life, right? Secret texts, notes, photos, videos, social media, podcasts, everything is in that phone. And it's being transmitted on waves through space that are invisible, right? Like if somebody would have told us this when we were kids, like we would have thought they were crazy. So it's not that far-fetched to believe that Mother Nature, who's been around for 4.5 billion years, has the same technology that we have, as humans have. We also don't understand how our cell phones work, but we know they work. So the same thing is happening in nature. We're getting, you know, upgrades to our system. We're getting downloads of energy and information. And the earth is like a living entity. We know this when we care for our plants, right? We know they have different personalities and different like flair to each one. And they're doing different things for our nervous system and emotionally. So we gather that really subtle electrical current energy. So just like life force, chi, if you want to call it. And we store it in water. We preserve it with alcohol. And this is a practice that's been going on for thousands of years in all cultures. It's everywhere. It's in Australia, the Aborigines. It's in Europe, the alchemists and the doctors. It's in the Himalayas. It's in South America, Central America. It's everywhere. Drinking dewdrops from the tops of flowers was the really old school method. So when you introduce internally, like you did at the beginning of the podcast, or you're misting yourself before you go into a meeting or before meditation or before bed, it shifts the harmonics of your body. Just simply like takes away the static, you know, and makes you operate at your best. It's kind of like acupuncture. If people are familiar with acupuncture, at first that was a weird concept, right? Like if you think about it, like with a very beginner's mind, wait, somebody's going to put needles in my skin and I'm going to feel better, right? That's the like very kind of mundane way of looking at it. But if you imagine that your body is like this incredible blueprint of points and roadways and maps, right? And you're like, you're precisely putting the teeniest, tiniest little needle in a particular point to remove stagnancy or increase flow in like the traffic of all the different energies in your organ systems. So flower essences are operating in a similar way, just without the needle. You just introduce them into your body or around your body, and immediately, and this is where I get super geeked out, it's not even just that like they're doing something to us. Our body actually knows what to do with them. Like we've got nanocrystalline structures in our blood, right? We have the pineal gland, which is like a giant crystal in our head. Our energy system feels that energy from plants and flowers, pulls it in and magnifies it and sends it to where it needs to go in our bodies. So we're not just simply like allowing something to take place, right? It's we are actually working synchronistically with the energies of plants and flowers, and we know how to magnify it and send it throughout our whole body system. That's why you feel better faster.
And I think our bodies crave it, right? I mean, it's funny. I was at the table with my parents the other day and they were talking about my dad, you know, loves like a gadget and he got, you know, compression pants and he was talking about grounding mats and he wants to buy this fancy grounding mat. And I have the fancy $1,000 grounding mat. I believe in those mats. But I was like, yeah, but do you understand the principle of grounding? Our ancestors grew up with our bare feet on the earth connected to the earth's electrical current, and then the invention of rubber shoes and rubber soles ruined humanity, if you think about it, because it disconnected us from that current. And if you think about how disconnected we've become, I think about my day today. I've been indoors in my work from home office all day. I have not been smelling outdoor scents. I've been smelling the volatile organic compounds that live in my house that come from the paint or the air fryer or the whatever. And smelling floral smells, like there's also all sorts of studies like that, just the simple act of smelling things that are natural, like your body, because your body's nature, it makes sense to me that your body craves that. And that, of course, your body knows what to do with it because our ancestors were surrounded by flowers. And I think when I was researching my book, like it's so interesting to explore like this connection between humans and flowers. And some people say it's because flowers used to signify the fruit, like flowers used to signify something we can eat. But there is this inexplicable connection that humans have with flowers. Like behind me in the point of the time that we're doing this interview, my holiday cactus is blooming, this fluorescent pink flower, and it matches my lipstick and it's so fun. And every time I see it, it's like, it's just this little lift in my spirit that I don't even need to like talk about or celebrate, but the presence of this flower is has elevated my level of happiness throughout the day. Like it's just what it is, you know? So I think that's interesting. Like in your exploration of the human flower connection, what other things have you uncovered? Have you ever noticed how the sound of meditation bowls at the spa or in a yoga class can instantly soothe your soul? Well, for the last 2 years, my home has felt like a meditation studio thanks to my Wind River wind chimes that I've hung on either side of my house. If you are looking to add serenity to your life in 2025 or maybe beat the winter blues, adding a Wind River wind chime might be the perfect, most joyful option for you. Every time I hear my Wind River wind chimes sing in the wind, it is an invitation for me to pause, take a deep breath, and find a moment of presence in the midst of a hectic workday. When I moved recently from New York to Florida, I literally did not feel at home until I hung my wind chimes at my new house. I was getting anxious at my new house because I hadn't hung my chimes yet and it didn't feel like home until they were there. They are not the clangy kind of grating wind chimes that you might hear in your neighbor's yard or at a garden center. Wind River wind chimes are the highest quality I've seen on the market. They're carefully tuned, beautifully designed. They come in a variety of colors, shapes, sizes, and sounds. And they make incredibly thoughtful gifts because you can actually engrave the wind sail with a special date or message. And you get a free engraving because you were a listener of Growing Joy with Plants. So beat the winter blues, explore the collection of wind chimes at windriverchimes.com and use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout for a free engraving to add that special unique touch to your wind chime. You will not regret it. That's windriverchimes.com. Use code GROWINGJOY at checkout. If you're looking for a fascinating book to stimulate your love for plants, you've got to check out the book Plants with Superpowers by David Dominy. So David is a popular gardener in the UK, and he's been a great enthusiast for the positive power of plants for a while. And in David's new book, Plants with Superpowers, he shares with readers an incredible array of plants that have extraordinary capabilities. After considerable research into myths, legends, and scientific papers, David illustrates how the natural world has truly gifted plants with superpowers. Plants with Superpowers feature 75 different plants that each have unique abilities, like snowdrops that can produce their own antifreeze, Venus flytraps that have a memory and can count, and the prehistoric ginkgo tree and how it can survive an atomic bomb. Care tips for all of the plants are also included. If you are interested, pick up Plants with Superpowers at your local bookstore, bookshop.org, Barnes & Noble, or amazon.com. That's Plants with Superpowers by David Dominy.
I mean, one of the most interesting things is that we're always drawn most to what we need the most. Like that is the flowers are like a perfect reflection of our own wisdom. That we can trust in our senses, we can trust in our wisdom. If you walk into a flower shop and you say like, oh, I'm just going to pick up some flowers from my table, it's not arbitrary. Of course, you're moving to what looks most beautiful to you, but also your senses are giving you information about what your body actually needs. So, you know, you might think, oh, this looks the most beautiful to me, or in terms of essential oils, this smells the best to me, or, you know, we put flower remedies in chocolate, what tastes the best to me? That's all informing you, but based on your body's wisdom of what it needs to heal. So like, for example, if someone is really drawn to holiday cactus flowers, I am, they're just spectacular, like all the colors and everything. They're just an amazing flower. That flower is for helping us unplug a little bit from the daily distractions of everyday life and make sure that our sails are really focused on what's our legacy? Like, what do we want to create in the world? What's our big vision? What's the most important thing to me? And just making sure that we are putting a little bit of energy towards the most important things every day versus getting lost in distractions. So like, it's they're mirrors, not only into like beauty and like seduction of nature, but also into ourselves and what's happening in our inner world.
Okay, so how do you know that? How do you know that the holiday cactus flower is about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's like 25 years of working with the flowers and plants at it. Like the first 7 years of working with people and flower remedies, which at that point were only taken internally. We weren't working with essential oils, weren't doing aromatherapy. It's just the internal flower essence. I worked with my teachers for many years and I honed my intuition to a point where I, you know, a friend of mine was like, why aren't you collecting your own flower essences? And I thought, that's a great idea. Why am I not collecting my own? So that started the process of going out into the wild, looking for special flowers, and then trying to figure out what they were for. Because this is a field that it's not been around, like it's not written about a lot. And I also wanted to source the information directly from the plant. I didn't want to read it in a book somewhere. And also there's like 40,000 species of flowering plants. You know, what are the chances that like some rare orchid in the middle of the rainforest in Costa Rica that doesn't even have a name, right? There's one flower I collected. We couldn't even find a name for it anywhere, not even in any of the like botany records. It's doubtful that I would be able to read somewhere what that flower essence is for. So you have to go direct to the source, like in many cases in life, and ask, like, what it became this very humbling process for me of like asking the plant, what are you for? You know, what's your medicine? What do you offer? And like, please tell it to me in words that the people that I can reach are going to understand. And so here I sat with my notebook, you know, and I felt like a total fool. Like, am I crazy? Am I really, is this really like really real? And then over time, it just became a, like anything, it was a practice. And what started out as a few sentences turned into a few pages. And then, you know, every new flower essence we collect, we have many people take it without knowing. At first, in the beginning, we didn't even tell them what it was for. We just had them write down, like, what are the things you experienced in the last 3 weeks? To make sure that the information I was getting wasn't, you know, crazy talk in my head. Mm. Now, every new flower essence, we have over 150 people take it. And at this point, I don't have any doubts that the information I get is real now because I've just been doing it for so long. So to answer your question, is a very long-winded way to say, I just asked the plant itself to tell me what it's for, you know, and that may seem crazy to some people, but you probably know that the herbalists of old times, that's what they did. You know, it's not that the tribes all ate a particular leaf that was poisonous and then figured out it was poisonous. No, there's like very subtle communications happening. Like the same way that you look at a scorpion in your house and you're like, whoa, don't touch, even if you've never seen one before.
Mm, that's a great parallel.
There's an aura to that. Don't touch it, right? Or like a rattlesnake. If a kid has never seen a rattlesnake before, they're still not going to want to touch it. There's just a thing that's happening. Like, we know. So I love that this whole process, not just for me, but for everyone that comes in contact with it, it retrains us to trust in our own inner wisdom and to trust in that connection, right? That you can ask a flower, what are you for? Or you can like look at a series of photographs of flowers and pick the ones you like, and it will always be right on. It will be truth.
Yeah, I have so many thoughts and so many follow-up questions I have for you, but I'm loving, you know, I feel like 2024, 2025, if you're on TikTok, it's all about the vibes, right? It's all about the vibes. And really, flower essences is about the vibes of flowers, which like I'm fully all in on. So, okay, I want to go back and ask you a couple of follow-up questions. So you're saying you've done this, you've been studying this for 25 years. So what does that look like? Are there flower essence experts? Were you studying with herbalists? Are there flower alchemists? Like, what have those 25 years looked like? Because it really does sound like you are on the more cutting edge of coming up with a language that makes sense for all of us to understand. Because I do think that there is a disconnect here. So what did studying it look like? I feel like people might be interested and want to take it on for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, study in the sense of like self-study. So I studied with my flower essence teacher for a year or so, like taking various courses, studying under the people that he trained. I've never seen him since 1999. I've still never seen the man again. Like my team was saying like, we should put this in the documentary. We should go like to Spain and, you know, try to find him because he's still there. And he taught in Spanish. So luckily I was fluent in Spanish. And
wow,
it's like, he kind of gave me like the push. And then I worked with his flower essences for 7 years. So part of that study was like seeing clients, seeing what problems people had, which, by the way, are different now than they were 20 years ago. Like things that people weren't even talking about, sleep issues 25 years ago. Now it's like over 50% have hard time sleeping. So, and it's changed a lot. The amount of like device time we're on and EMFs we're exposed to and toxic load that we have, like a lot has changed, right? So like really looking at what are people experiencing on a year by year basis, what are people feeling? And then just going out into the field and finding different flowers and making really deep wishes that like I find exactly what people need for the times, right? And I should say that when I came back to the United States, I also met several Tibetan Buddhist teachers. And that was the kind of the second part of my training. If I think of the first part, it was like nuts and bolts, what are flower essences? How do they work? You know, that's like, it's pretty simple, actually. I think the more difficult, challenging, and profound part of my training was going through all the different like purification practices and daily meditation, right? I'm committed to daily meditation practices now of 2 hours a day. And that's, wow. You know, that it adds up, it banks up, it changes you, it helps you see things in a different way. And I feel that, I sincerely feel that the flower essences that we offer to our clients and our community can only be as good as my fearlessness to experience the different things in myself are, right? So like, I have to take all the flower essences. I have to look at all the things. I have to look at all the aspects of myself that are, you know, I haven't wanted to look at. So it's involved a lot of introspection and personal growth work and rapid transformation and evolution and pushing myself to do things that are uncomfortable and painful and challenging. And I would say that's really kind of the most profound part of the self-study that I've done. And then the more practical pieces, whereas like, you know, if I just look at, I'm looking at like a card of flowers that we use. Okay, this one came from the desert in Arizona. This one came from California. This one came from Iceland. This one's from Nepal, from Costa Rica. So part of it involved like traveling to these different places and then getting down my hands and knees and saying like, what do people need today? And then going forward in the decades forward, what will be the most helpful remedies? And then being able to kind of follow cues and nature and my intuition and the community and what people are feeling to release those flower essences out into the world that people are needing the most at the precise moment.
What does that look like? So you're in Costa Rica, you come across the orchid you mentioned, or you come across a flower that is shouting to you, I need to heal. Please take me, capture me. So what does that look like? You're capturing the flower, you're capturing the plant, you're cultivating more flowers, or you're distilling. Like, how do you distill and capture an energetic code of a flower and then put it in something that can be mass produced? Like, it's so fascinating.
Yeah. And it's like back to the original collection, every flower is different and it will relate to what the benefits of that flower are. So like, oftentimes I find that when I'm collecting a particular flower, the exact experience I have of collecting it, the moment, the place, the environment, the people, the time, the animals will reflect back to me either the imbalanced state or the balance of that particular flower's therapeutic qualities. So flowers from different places have different themes. So for example, in Costa Rica, I've found to be like one of the best places to find flowers for purging subconscious fears. Things we're afraid of that we don't even know we're afraid of, right? So
wow,
this one particular little terrestrial orchid, it grows from the earth. It's not a sky orchid. It's an earth orchid. It looks like a little white elephant. It's very unassuming, looks very innocent, but it's for fear of persecution and attack. And the moment that I started to collect this particular orchid, my photographer Taylor left. She went to the car to get something. And so I was like alone. And all of a sudden, I was just like in terror. I thought that I would be attacked by a wild animal or that some guy would jump out and attack me. Or like, I was just like overcome with like terror of being attacked. And I had to kind of like, by this point in my career, I had kind of understood that this is a phenomenon that can sometimes happen. So I had to kind of like slow down. You're probably just feeling what someone would feel when this particular flower essence is indicated. You're probably not going to get eaten by a jaguar or like, you know, big cat. They have them in Costa Rica.
I was going to say, like, you, right. It's a real fear.
I don't know. It could have been like right around the corner. I'm not sure, but I would say there's two sides again to this coin. One is the more profound side and one's the very simple, like mundane. The very profound side is like all of those things you're paying attention to as you're collecting, because it's showing you something about the quality of the flower. And then the sort of more mundane level or visible level is like, all you have to do is you find the flowers at their full bloom point. They must be growing in the ground or in their natural habitat or in a garden. It can't be cut flowers. And you soak the flowers in water and the sunlight. The sunlight is what's the catalyst or the driver that drives the life force or the chi or the energy information into the blueprint of water. Water's like,
you soak the flower while they're still growing, while they're attached to their plant.
You can either bend them over and then put them back. Or if it's something like a really pokey cactus and you're not able to do that, you can cut the flower. You're not killing the plant. You're just cutting one flower and putting into the water. And then the water will take on the information in its crystalline structure. And then you take the flower out after several hours of sitting in the sunlight, if it's a sun blooming flower, or moonlight, if it's a moon blooming flower. And then you add alcohol to preserve it. And then you do several dilutions. It's very similar to homeopathy. This is the crazy part. The more dilute it becomes, the more profound it goes. So like if it's an earlier dilution, it could be for more acute situations. If it's a more of a stronger dilution, stronger meaning more dilute, it's more for like chronic long-term patterns or family patterns or things that have happened in your family up to 7 to 8 generations back, or something that happened to you in childhood, like very deep patterns. So the actual process to answer your question is like very simple, right? Soaking flowers in water, doing the dilutions is a very simple process. And it also makes it very sustainable. When you look at essential oils, which we also work with, we don't do the distillations of those. We work with reputable suppliers and we mix them together with the flower essences for the mists and the oils and that kind of thing. That's a whole other thing, right? You need like 40 roses just to get one drop of rose oil. But in the world of flower essences, because you're doing these dilutions and it becomes more powerful, the more diluted it is, it's extremely sustainable. Like one flower could create enough flower remedy for masses for generations. And then B, you can also work with poisonous flowers, because by the time you get to the remedy that you're actually going to consume it, there's no more chemical constituents of the plant in the water. It's just the life force energy, like homeopathic essence. Same like in homeopathy, you can take poisonous rocks, right?
Right. This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by Manucora Honey, also known as Honey with Superpowers, also known as my new hyperfixation, if you've been listening to this podcast for the last couple of months. I use it almost every morning to make my coffee so delicious. Manucora Honey is single origin, rich, creamy. It's so delicious. It almost tastes like caramel. And it's collected by bees that only feed off of nectar from the Manuka tea tree in New Zealand. That's what makes it so special, and that it has 3 times more antioxidants and prebiotics in it than your average honey. Try it for yourself, plant friends, and you'll get $25 off their starter kit since you're a listener of the podcast. So all you have to do is go to manucora.com/bloom. Manucora is spelled manukora.com/bloom, and you'll get $25 off your starter kit, which comes with an MGO 850 plus Manuka honey jar, 5 honey travel sticks, which are great for like a long weekend, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. That's manucora.com/bloom for $25 off your own starter kit. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. It's so fun. The style shows up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes and you've worn through them, you just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I just got my first Armoire box and I am so blown away. I was doubtful about the stuff fitting me because honestly, plant friends, I'm kind of a mess with my style in my closet right now. I've had a lot of weight fluctuation. Nothing fits. I'm struggling to find my new Floridian style after living in sweaters in New York for the last 10 years. Every single piece in the Armoire shipment, 3 dresses, a pair of pants, and a sweater, It all fit perfectly. It was wild. It doesn't fit perfectly when I go into the store, but this perfectly curated selection of clothes was amazing and just ready to wear. I'm actually wearing the pants right now at my office. They're so cute. They're not spandex. They're making me feel kind of elevated. I also love how sustainable this company is and that Armoire is female founded and it features tons of female designers. Gotta support that girl power. So if you could use a refresh to your wardrobe and want to do it in a sustainable way, right now, Armoire is giving you 50% off your first month because you're a Growing Joy listener. That's up to $125 off based on what tier you choose. Just visit armoire.style/bloom. So that's armoire.style. I'm going to spell it for you. It's armoire.style/bloom to get up to 50% off of your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. armoire.style/bloom. So yeah, because water holds energy. I mean, that's been proven over and over again. So the fact that you're using water to capture the energy and then basically preserving it, because I was going to ask the difference between essential oils, which to me feel more like dead than what you're talking about. Like, what is the difference between an essential oil and a flower essence?
So the essential oil is like the actual like juice that you can either squeeze or distill out from the seeds, stems, leaves, flowers, all parts of the plant that you're working with. It is another alchemical process. You know, I did go through one essential oil distillation and it took multiple days of distilling and it felt very alchemical and very emotional and also super interesting. But I understand what you're saying that over time, there can be this kind of 2D quality about essential oils. Like, you know, if you've got like a lavender room spray, it doesn't have the kind of like that flower essences do.
Energizing. Yeah. I like the idea of using a flower essence that's of a flower that still exists. Like it didn't have to be killed, cut, boiled, pulsed into mush or to get the juice. Right. It feels like a very different practice. And it feels more, I don't know, it feels more alive. I don't know why that's the word that just keeps coming up for me. But okay, you are so, this is so fascinating. Is it just flowers? Can my houseplants emit an energy like?
100%. Yeah. And they're actually sentient. I don't know if you, are you familiar with the work of Dr. Cleve Baxter?
No.
He's no longer living, but he trained a few friends of mine. He was the like quintessential polygraph trainer in the CIA. So he taught all the agents how to use the lie detector machine, essentially. And he was a pretty cool guy. One night in his office, he was like, I wonder what'll happen if I hook up my polygraph to my plants, like the plants that you have, you know? It was something like a simple philodendron or something. And so that started this whole other area of his career where he looked at plant sentience because in his first kind of foray into hooking it up to the plant, he was like, I wonder what would happen. Let's see. Maybe what my first experiment will be is I'm going to go get a box of matches and I'm going to light this leaf on fire and see if something registers on the machine. And what he saw, he like jaw dropped in that moment because he hadn't even picked up the matches. He just thought about it and had the intention to do it. Mm. And the plant started to register a tremendous amount of stress on the polygraph machine. Mm. Right. And he was like, oh my God, this simple plant that I have in my office can read my mind and my intention. I can't light the leaf on fire. Right. And then he did other experiments where he had like these tiny little baby shrimp in water and he poured boiling water. Essentially, he killed a small amount of baby shrimp. And also, the plants started to register a tremendous amount of stress, meaning that like this compassionate, sympathetic, empathetic, oh my God, a living being is being killed. Like they can feel that.
Wow.
He also figured out that they could identify the murderer in a room, right? If someone came through and committed a crazy thing, you could walk through three or four people through the room and the plants, based on how they stress when that person comes in the room, would be able to identify the perpetrator.
Oh, this brought up, speaking of vibes and something that you were talking about when, Because I'm thinking about listening to you talk about how you commune with plants and how you ask plants and you receive information from the plants. And how for some people, like even I talk to my plants every day, I totally am on board. But I have a lot of people in my life that don't necessarily believe that or really struggle to understand that we can communicate with plants and plants can communicate back with us. But as humans, we're more trained to understand that where you as a woman, particularly, I think women are very sensitive to this. I will walk into a room and know who I am not talking to. Like just off of vibes, just off of their energetic imprint, if you're sensitive enough, you know, people who say that they're empaths often can understand the bad person or the murderer or just someone who has like a really negative energy about them without saying anything, without even really like they can be across the room. And it's kind of similar to that. Like that's the bridge. And plants feel like the extreme version of sensitivity because now we're so insensitive and we need to all cultivate our empathy and our sensitivity and our receptivity to interacting with things. But yeah, that's so fascinating. What are your top requests right now for remedies? And what are the flowers you're prescribing? Like maybe if we could take your top three, like you were mentioning that you never heard about sleep and now you're hearing about sleep with 50% of your clients. Like what are you feeling most called to share with the world in terms of healing opportunities?
Oh my gosh, it's so varied now. It's become so varied. Like
really?
The people who have never worked with flower essences before, oftentimes they'll come in with something a little more acute or like kind of more like survival stress. Like I want to feel more love, or like I'm just super stressed, or like I can't sleep, or I need more energy, or I just need to get shit done, or I need to laugh again. Like I haven't laughed in a long time, right? Once people work with those remedies for a while, they stabilize and then they're more comfortable going and digging in the closets. Like what was like some trauma from my childhood, or was I abused, or did I have somebody didn't want to play with me on the playground and that affected the way that I make friends today later in life, or, you know, things that we don't necessarily want to talk about, abandonment, betrayal. I mean, you name it. There's so many, right? Insecurity, feeling ashamed. Like we can... Once we're like strong and stable, then we can kind of dig a little deeper under the surface of what our motivations are and why we do the things we do. The things I've been seeing in the last few years are a little bit more kind of universal, and they are definite collective patterns around being able to detox your body really rapidly, as well as moving grief. A lot of people recently have experienced a lot of grief, I would say anywhere from 2020 until now. And it can be related to world events. It can also be just that you kind of had to surrender in your life for some reason.
Yeah.
How to love and nourish ourselves. A lot of us have blocks to loving and nourishing ourselves. And let's see what else. Being able to speak your truth, even if it creates what you would perceive as sort of a conflict. People are craving telling the truth and then being able to like express themselves in life in a bigger way and be able to fulfill their visions, and then becoming more fearless. Like, you know, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's fear. So like, how do we dig into the deepest levels of ourselves and expunge any little fears that are there? I will tell you one thing, because you're a plant lover. This is pretty interesting. This pink flower in the middle, it's a Japanese camellia. Mm-hmm. That has been just insane amount of thousands and thousands and thousands of people have chosen that in the last couple years.
Really?
Yeah, there's a huge collective theme.
And what is that plant's medicine?
Yeah, it's for when something happens that disappointed us and disappointed our heart. It is kind of like, it makes us harden and apathetic. Like, ah, fuck it, whatever. I don't care.
Well, of course, if you look at the societal hell we've all gone through in the last 4 years, that definitely feels and rings true with so many people. I mean, I feel like so many people talk about burnout and like COVID burnout specifically, and just they're like, people don't have the capacity anymore.
It enhances our capacity because it softens our heart and helps us come back to like, but I do care. So like, how are we going to mend and take care of ourselves and each other?
Yeah. So when I got my little care package that you sent me, I've only interacted with your aromists before. You have multiple different ways that people can experience these essences. I, like a bonehead, the first time I tried your flower elixir, instead of eating it, instead of putting it under my tongue, I put it all over my throat chakra. I was like, oh yeah, this will be good. I'm going to rub this in really good, which was sticky because it's essentially like honey. So what are the different ways that people can play around with flower essences and experience them?
Yeah. So the elixirs are taken internally. It's like a honey nectar, like you said, and you can put that in, you can take it like right in your mouth, or like I've been putting it in like coffee, water, tea, anything, beverages, water bottle, you know, whatever is like easy and you don't have to think about it. Because the trick with flower essences is you want to get them in as often as you can, especially today. Like what I was telling you about in the beginning, when I was first seeing clients, it was enough for people to just take it 5 times a day and that was it. But now with the amount of like EMFs and cell phone and satellites and Bluetooth and crazy stuff that's going on, that's just draining, a lot of travel and different types of radiation. The more the merrier. So it's like, I just see people coming in and they're using them much more often, like spritzing at their desk, at their bed, in their kitchen, using it, drinking, you know, as many sort of touch points as possible. So then there's the mist that is mixed with essential oils. So it's the flower essences and essential oils, because then you want to get that like yummy sensuous yeah. experience, which also just kind of feels like you're cleaning your aura. Then there's the anointing oil, which is a very concentrated, lots of essential oils. So really strong, like a natural perfume with the flower essences. And you can put those on points. We have work with a lot of acupuncturists who use them with needles or in place of the needles. There's serums that you can rub all over your body, more like a massage oil. There's bath salts. There's dark chocolate, like the best dark chocolate in the entire world, with mood boosting. Like chocolate's already a mood boost, right? And then you add all this plant power, it's even better.
And yeah, I mean, I've really loved the experience of having different mists for different parts of my day as well. Like I'm sitting down at my desk, I have my Fierce Compassion flower elixir, which is about wholehearted presence, fearless love, soft heart, like obviously how I want to run my business. And then to have a different one that is about unwinding, like it helps you, it almost creates seasons within your day, you know, which feels kind of nice. I was interested, you know, you said sometimes it's about just by sight, because I went on your website, I took your test, which is kind of where people get started. Like your test is extremely extensive. I was not prepared. I did not allocate enough time to take your test. I thought it was going to be like one of those 2 minute, like 5 question tests, and then you get your results. No, it was like a lot of different pictures of flowers. And I was kind of confused when I was taking it, because I was like, I don't know if I'm doing this right, because a lot of times it's just like what flower appeals to you. And then you just have to pick just by vision, not knowing the name of the flower, not knowing the origin of the flower, not knowing anything about the flower, you pick just what appeals to your vision. And I had this feeling of, which is also a pattern of mine, feeling like I'm not doing it right. So how does that work as well in terms of like assessing if what would be the right flower for you to work
with? Yeah, you're always doing it right. When you go towards what you're drawn to or what's visually appealing to you, you're always doing it right. I mean, it just is like, no matter if you pick one flower or 50 flowers, you'll always go towards the ones you need. And it's nice to get something reflected back to you. Was it accurate what you read when you got the results?
Oh, yeah. It was accurate. It was interesting. It was mind-opening. It wasn't necessarily what I like totally thought, but really interesting. And like it all resonated. And the reading you give back is so extensive. How do you compile? So the offerings on your website, you've compiled multiple different flowers together. Is that all intuitive? So you sense like, what are the main themes coming up with my clients? How can I create? It's not, you can't sell 40,000 different flower essence bottles, right? You've got to kind of package them a little bit. So how has that looked for you to develop this line with your mission, you know, to get 3% of the world actively using flower essences all the time?
Yeah, I mean, to me, synergies makes much more sense, because if I say like bird of paradise, it might mean something to you. But if I say quiet mind, well, then, you know, the average person who doesn't know anything about plants, that makes sense. And there are a lot of reasons why people don't sleep. Like some of us have too much physical tension. Okay, we'll put in some dandelion for that. Some of us think that we feel that like no one else can do it as good as we are. And then we start worrying about like, oh, shit, I forgot to do that. Oh, so-and-so. Oh, shoot, I didn't.
That's me. Busy, 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 busy mind. Yeah.
So the little bit of Brugmansia for that. And then some of us are more like stuck in the head, like lots of thoughts not coming down into the heart. That would be bird of paradise. And then passion flower for like when your nervous system is just on total overdrive, you can't sleep, you're going a mile, you know, 100 miles an hour. So there could be, just to say, multiple reasons why someone can't sleep. So we bottle them all together in like a little bouquet. And that way, you know, we're kind of like reaching as many of the root causes as possible. Or like, you know, the infinite love formula. There's the pink magnolias for like...
Oh, that's the first one. That's the one we got in Jessica's care package.
Oh, yeah.
The infinite love. It's so good. I love it so much.
So some of us want more love because we're giving all our time, energy, and resources to other people, and we don't leave anything for ourselves, right? We're just totally depleted. We give too much. Some of us want love because we just want to like curl up on the couch and snuggle and be affectionate with somebody. Some of us want to be seen. Some of us want to be heard. Some of us actually want love from ourselves. We actually want to be able to love and accept ourselves without like external validation. So just creating like little bouquets, so to speak, in the bottle that will target similar, in like a similar vein, but different reasons. Like Divine Truth has 9 different flowers in it, and they're all different according to like what would be the reason why some people don't or are wary of telling the truth. Some people don't want to be vulnerable, right? Some people are afraid of hurting other people's feelings. Some people are afraid of like being too brash, right? So just being able to kind of bring them all together and create something that will have like an experience that you can say after 3 to 5 days, I absolutely feel that. Like, I don't want it to be like a multivitamin where you're like, I think it's doing, I don't know, right? Like, I want you to take it and say after 3 to 5 days, at least, or sooner, this is absolutely changing something in my mind. I feel it. I know it. Like, irrefutably. I don't need a doctor to tell me what's right or wrong with me. Like, I know this inside of me.
Which goes back to opening up and trusting your intuition again. And frankly, I understand the 3 to 5 days, particularly with the ingesting, but I have to say, 30 seconds of the Aramist, I really feel a difference. And I notice it throughout my day. It's become a ritual. Tell me.
Oh, and another thing. So about the 30 seconds, a lot of times people too could say like, well, what about the placebo, right? But you can use them with animals, and you can use them with children, and you can use them with babies and even plants. And, you know, this is like where placebo doesn't really exist in that realm. And you still see a difference.
I live a more magical life now than I used to. And I have a lot of people in my life that don't necessarily believe in magic, but my response as well with this whole placebo thing and is it real? I'm so much happier with magic in my life. Like, I'm so much happier with flowers in my life. I'm so much happier spraying my Aramis throughout my workday. My workday is better when I do this. So I don't care if it's placebo or not. Like, as long as I'm feeling good. And if I'm feeling good, it's likely not placebo. But even if it is, like the 10% that it is, I'm just like, I'm not interested in that anymore.
But that being said, when you see like a baby, like they're teething and they're crying and they're cranky, and then, you know, they'll come into the store and we'll just like grab inner peace or something and like, whoop.
That's amazing. What the heck? I'll take 10 bottles. Now, I will also ask, as we're at the end of the interview, I don't normally get this vulnerable on my show, but I have to ask you, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to a temple in Salt Lake City where I'm doing a really intense 3-day spiritual retreat all about nervous system repatterning and kind of finding some early childhood nervous system patterns that we're going to work on. I've been working for, you know, a year with a somatic therapist on changing. So what would be the flower essence? You mentioned your Costa Rican flower essences and my ears perked up. I'm like, I need to overnight one of these flower essences to this temple tomorrow so I can be using it on my retreat.
Do you have any inkling of what the patterns might be around?
Lack of belief in self, repatterning the sphere of failure that I have.
Oh God, I knew it. I should have just said it. Okay. Divine Within. Do you have Divine Within?
No, I don't, but I will overnight it to myself tonight. Divine Within. Okay, cool. Tell me more about Divine Within.
Yeah, it does have that Japanese camellia that everybody's drawn to.
Okay.
And it's also got bonsai plum. Bonsai plum is like when we want things to be perfect and we're afraid of failing or putting out a thing that's not perfect, right? It helps us take bigger risks. It's also good for like when we get depleted or exhausted and we have a hard time nourishing ourselves. If we have ever felt underappreciated, disconnected, if fear prevents us from feeling that love is everywhere, or if we have a tendency to be hard on ourselves.
Yep, that's me. Okay. I will order some to the temple tonight. So hopefully it'll be waiting for me. For people who might want to overnight themselves in flower essences too, where can people find you, the work that you do, and the wide array? I mean, we talked about three different of your mixtures, but you have so many different offerings on your website. So where can people find you and order from you?
Yep. So if you go to Lotus Way, Lotus like the flower, and then WEI.com, there is a quiz there, like you said, that you can choose the flowers you're most drawn to. It'll give you some recommendations. Of course, we always love connecting people with flowers so people can email us, DM us, call us. And then if you ever want to come in person and visit, we have a 15,000 square foot building. It's a wellness center called the Self-Arising Nature Center. And you can find us there at sanpsx.com. And, you know, we have lots of services and classes. Some are online, some are in person, from services to events to workshops, all kinds of things.
I sense a growing joy retreat in our future.
Woo!
2026, put it on the vision board. Well,
I would love that.
You are such a joy. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for sharing some of your mixtures with me. I'm going to be a lifelong customer, and I highly encourage the listeners. This has been a very fun exploration for myself, and that's all I'll say. You know, you guys make your own decisions, but it's been really interesting. And even just hearing you say, you know, this plant behind me that's flowering, all about your true north, all about your legacy, like that is my business. It's in my office. It's so interesting that I intuitively put that flower in my green wall, not even understanding that's what it is. Like, this is all just so fascinating and fun. So go take the Lotus Way test. And I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I hope you loved this interview as much as I did. Like I said, I literally overnighted. What was the one I got? Divine Within. I overnighted it to this retreat that I went to in Salt Lake City, and I used it with me. It was incredibly supportive. And more importantly, now that I've been back from the retreat where I did a lot of work around my confidence, I have that flower essence that I spray all the time. And I feel like it's helping me integrate all of the work that I did at that retreat. But also I use, like we talked about, I've been using their True Strength Aramix and Elixir throughout my workday. And then I decompress at the end of the night with their Quiet Mind. And I keep the Quiet Mind by my bedside. I just give myself a little spritz. And it's just like lovely. And plant friends, like I said in the conversation, I think that this is real. I think that this works. But like in the conversation of, is it real? Isn't it real? Is it a whole bunch of fake stuff? Like, I love the way I feel using it. I feel different and I feel more positive. So like, why not let life be a little magical, right? So if you're curious, you can go to Lotus Way and you can follow Katie. We've got all of her links in the show notes. If we have an affiliate link for you, if we have a coupon, it'll be in the show notes. I'm still working that out with her right now. And I hope this episode sparked your curiosity and helped you, as per usual, keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.
Self-care on Growing Joy.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.